Hi, this is Ella again. You know, it is so fabulous. I've learned a lot about rugby, but now I'm moving, eh? I've had enough of learning about men. This is women changing the game. We're doing this for Women's Month, and I get to chat to the uber bubbly, fabulous darling, Katu Aloha. Hello, Maisie. How are you doing?
Hi, Ella. It's so lovely to see a woman in the game. It's so nice. Thank you for having me on this. I know how much you've learned so far, and it's great to be part of this part of your journey, which I think will much be, I want to say a bit more fierce, you know, with the woman's side.
We can't be too fierce because, you know, we don't want to intimidate anybody. But I think really fabulous, when I look at your career, because the whole campaign, everything that I've been learning is all about change, science, and neuroscientists, I don't know if you know this, they found that absolutely anybody is capable of learning anything new at any age, you know, nothing, it never stops, you know? And so I want to ask you, when you started, you originally wanted to go study to be a physiotherapist because you want to be the springboard physiotherapist one day, and boom, yeah, you suddenly found yourself in sport broadcasting. What characteristics do you think helped you make that switch?
I think I was thinking about this just now, and as you scroll most on the social, something popped up and say everything beautiful lies behind trying, and I think that's actually the key part is I just tried and I had to learn from failure. Not getting into physiotherapy, I don't know what would happen if I would be a physio. Would they just give me the job? Like, hello, I didn't even think further than that. I just wanted to be in the mix, in this team environment, in this elite team environment. So I just tried something else, and still in that framework, and that I have such a passion for sport. So I think I just trying and then being persistent with that, or persevering through that. So I guess it's the three P's, eh? Passion, perseverance, and persistence. I don't know if that's in it with my mom, Abiki. My mom is a very strong motivator. So she's always encouraged trying something new, and I guess living in a small town, having the radio on, we didn't have a lot of signal.
Which small town are you from?
Hogsback in the
East. Thanks for your
The Suurkloof. It's so small. There's like, it's in a mountain range, so there's like no signal. So we only had radio in terms. It was the most consistent form of getting your fix of rugby and other sports. So hearing those voices and hearing the magic they create with switching on you're part of it. So I just felt, you know, maybe that's something you could try. And being a talker like you, Ella, I just thought, okay, maybe these two could align. And I guess just trying and then persisting with it, I think, are the things that led me to actually making a career out of sports broadcasting.
This is the thing that I found fascinating when I was doing some research on you, because, you know, a good talker must know what she's talking about.
Yes, that's fair. Yeah?
So the thing I found so beautiful is, yeah, you not only go into a male-dominated area like sports broadcasting, because trust me, I don't see many females making it. Not only did you make it, but you somehow got awards, man. That is my killer. I'm so impressed and so happy to like read that and see that and see your star just going brighter and brighter. But like, what does it take to be award-winning in a male-dominated field?
Having a thick skin, and it's weird saying that because I'm a very sensitive person. So I take people's opinions very I hear and I listen and I absorb, and I shouldn't always. But I guess over the years we've gotten used to, you know, most. I'm getting the thick skin and the leather jacket or something that keeps it out. the thick skin, but also just, I guess, being confident or doing your research, actually, and then the confidence comes from that, because we are women in a world that wasn't created for us. Having that base of learning and always learning and researching and engaging, I don't ever feel like I know everything, and I think that helps with the confidence, because when I actually do know things, it's like, hey, my foundation, that's, I laid the foundation for that. So I guess doing research, having a bit of a thick skin, and I'm just going on. My mom said altijd, how do you eat an elephant? Sticky for sticky. I'm not saying eat an elephant, but sticky for sticky.
The metaphorical.
The metaphor.
The real one. The thing.
Yeah, just imagine something big, and how you get through it is a little bit for a little bit. And now whether that's I guess, walking into a room and there's just a certain type of face there, and you're like, hey, and you just have to be there, and you just have to conquer that one press conference, then you go into, okay, then it's checked, then you get to the next one, and so you build your confidence and your I guess your knowledge and your research, and so I guess that would be, I think, the key, or one of the keys at least, because this house has many doors.
For sure it does. Here's the thing. Change science more says, né? If you change one area of your life, the change and the learning doesn't stay there. It spills over into other areas of your life. How does this change your focus and your entire life and career? How has that changed how you look at yourself, if at all?
That I can do things. I can do the things. Like, yeah, it's scary when you look back or just walk into, again, that room or that house with the many doors. It's scary because you don't, all the doors are closed. But when they start opening, it's this, the light filters in, and it's all beautiful, and it's yours, and you did it. You earned that key. You earned this to enter this room. And yes, there are many ideas and things that need to change still, but those doors have been opened now. I guess it just made me think that, hey, we can actually do the things, and also how I'd like more people to do the things and be part of it and give back. And so I'm always open to, you know, giving advice or helping. And I know I'm technically still a baby in the industry, but, you know, I just want to help, and I just want to get us all there, because we all can. And I guess that's how I looked at different things in my life, is that I can do things. And whether it's running, like I'm trying to run a marathon now. You're this wheel, I think that's almost
you can do that. I will watch you running. I'll just watch you running, it's all right, guy. Like sweating and lashes.
You can just go like this. Ella,
yes, I can be your cheerleader, Katua. I can do that. I can sign up for that. But one of the things, like I mentioned earlier, you won the woman an award. So you won a major award.
Oh yeah, sorry, you were saying that. Sorry, Ella. The award.
So you won that award, but what I want to know is, before the award, what do you think contributed to your success? Was it like a fast thing, or was it a little bit step by step, consistent steps into that direction towards getting that?
At first, I think where people glance from the outside, it's like, oh, this is quick, man. Because I guess in everyone's careers, as you grow, you're more exposed to people, and people see you, maybe, oh, now she's there, but actually she's been doing it for 6 or 7 years. So yes, it's definitely small, sticky for sticky, piece by piece. It was definitely not a quick thing, and I think it's not there even yet. It's just one, you know, one little step on the ladder. But it was definitely small, consistent steps, persevering, and at least, and I guess also the base is, like, I'm very passionate about what I do. I love it. I love sports so much.
I can't see any passion whatsoever when you're from one passionate girl to another. I see you, lady. I see you.
I'm very subtle, Yana, but it's fine. That's what got me.
Very subtle. You are very subtle, so much that you wrote the book on subtle. But it's okay. That's another story. The thing that I also find, and that change science has also revealed to us, is we learn more when we fail than when things are going great. So now, you say you're a baby in this industry, but you've been through a couple of things and done a few significant things. Is there something that stood out for you that other people would see as a failure, but that you learned from in your career so far?
So I did think a big, and it was a mind shift for me. It was when I left school, obviously one of my goals, I wanted to be the Springbok physiotherapist, but then I didn't get into physiotherapy. Then I got into Stellenbosch to study sports science, a BSc in sports science. And if you know, it was BA and BSc. And if only I did BA, but it's fine. And I would have maybe had a degree by now, but I didn't. I was out of class, but it's fine.
Because BSc is a higher grade, that one.
I mean, if you have to have a lab coat when you start your degree, then it's a maybe not for couture. So I think that was, and then I only completed 1 year of BSc. And in that time, I guess I learned a lot about yeah, what it works for certain people and what doesn't. And it's okay that certain things don't work for certain people. And I felt like a massive failure. And I think from the outside, it didn't look so bad. But for me, it felt raw because both my parents are academics and all of those things. But it led me to a community radio station and all of those things. So for me, that was a big, I guess, big change. And it could have gone either way. And I think it worked out well. It worked out well, yeah. I guess, through the passion never went away for sport. And I think that was the core of it. And then that continuing to learn as well. But that was a massive thing for me to overcome in my mind. And it wasn't, I mean, the worst things. But for me, that was, felt like earth-shattering end of the world vibes. But it led me to lack of things.
So now obviously somebody watching this and they like have a passion, but you know, they stuck either in responsibility mode or whatever. Mm-hmm. So when you want to take a passion and turn it into a career, what advice do you have for somebody who's wanting to pursue that kind of road? Because everybody says, you know, do something you love, never work a day in your life, but that's not true. There's still a lot of work, even with a passion career. So what other advice would you have for somebody wanting to pursue passion?
Yeah, even just looking at the Springboks, do you think they like getting up at like 5:30 and going to gym? No.
I mean, do they like being tackled by a guy for 150 kilograms, man? Like, no, man?
It's a lie that no one likes that. No one wants to do. No one chooses that, but it's part of it. It's all part of it. I guess following your passion is that it must be, in a sense, I guess, attainable in a way that you can be able to break it down for yourself. Like, okay, I want to, let's say, work with the Springboks in there. I'm giving one day. What do I do? Okay, I want to be in broadcasting is the route I'm choosing. How do I get there? I need to learn about broadcasting. How do I get about broadcasting? Okay, let's see. Is there a community radio station or something? Is there acting school? Is there you try and, I guess, break your passion down and then follow it from there. And also know that not everything is going to be good and lacquer and glamorous and whatever field you choose. Some of it, you're going to have to take the good with the bad. Like, I had to get up at 2:00 in the morning when everyone was out partying and go do my morning radio shift when I just started. And that's when I learned the most. And also that was the foundation that, I guess, got me to where now. But like, it wasn't lacquer. No one wants to do that, some of those things, but it goes with the passion. So I guess sometimes I think people forget that there's some ugly parts and good parts that will go, but it's all worth it. Yeah.
What other behaviors do you think is important to focus on when you want to pursue a career change or any change?
Knowing yourself. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I'm not a morning person. Now I have to go running. But I also have time in the afternoon. I want to run. So somewhere I'm going to have to do it. Like, if I don't have time in the afternoon, I'm going to have to do it in the morning. So I guess know yourself, and you're just going to have to find your routine and what works for you, but it will still get you to your goal. And it's not all going to be, I guess, black and white. Some areas might be gray, whatever. But I think making a change is knowing yourself and what will work for you, but also doesn't work for you. So you can find like a middle ground, I think. Yeah. Oh, so deeply, so Ella, you're... It's like a
yeah, no, out. Listen, we women are deep.
Changes.
Don't look us fluck in the eye, because you know, we do stuff. Yeah. And like, I was speaking to another lady, and the thing that always hits me is how much women, even in 2022 and beyond, still have to do so much extra to just be seen, to be able to do it. Like in broadcasting, it's still, and sports broadcasting specifically, it's still very much male dominated. What are some of the biggest challenges that you face even today, even with the progressive world, you know, women's rights, what you still find you come up against these challenges?
A big one for me is, and not because you will relate, is like being so passionate, people don't always take me seriously. They think the passion equals unprofessionalism. I don't know, or not knowing your stuff, not taking you. And it's like, then you
underestimate
completely underestimate you. But then it also, you know, being in this world, you think, oh shit, but maybe it's not for me then, or not for me, or whatever. But it's not. It's their stuff. But so not being taken seriously. I guess the lack of opportunities, in a sense, is that they think it's just one person can have it. It's not me and you, if that makes sense. If there's room at the table, they think, oh, there's one seat filled by a woman, so there can't be another one. instead of looking at the 50 other guys or people that are there, it's they replace the one with the one, like for like. So the opportunities that shuts the door, narrows the
I know, right? Because I mean, you and I are different, but we're not interchangeable, not in the way we look at ourselves, but sometimes so people do look at us and go, oh, no, Katua can't make it, just pop that
100%.
In, you know? They make that mistake.
Yeah, and also the fact that you, also when you make a mistake, and we're human, we are going to make a mistake, there's going to be a slip of the tongue, or a mispronounced name, or something.
Or your brain just went on shutdown. Like even males have the same thing happen to them.
100%. But then you get the comments and say, oh, but that's why women aren't there. That's why women can't do that. So there's no room for failure. And we all know failure leads to change and leads to success, to it in a way.
Yeah. It's critical for success. I mean, you can't have success without failure. So now wrapping all of this beautiful, because you and I can chat forever, but we don't have forever.
I can see this coming or hear this coming.
What keeps you motivated to keep changing and growing and improving?
That's a good one, because I was also thinking about this the other day, because I had a very intense week of work, and it was just, everyone was training around me, and it was very intense. And I was thinking, I want to keep going, because I guess people after me, or even just while, you know, all of us, is just to experience new difficulties and new challenges, not the same ones we have seen every single day and for decades. I wanted to see they have new issues, like how high can my salary go, or like how whatever can it, like I want them to have new challenges, like new difficulties, not the same ones of not being taken seriously or not being allowed to fail and be human or stuff like that. So I think that's why I want to keep going. I want to change the game in a way that it's just not me and you, it's you and me, and it's okay to be you or whatever. I hope that, I mean, whatever is such a great term. I'm sorry that all my words have left me now. Whatever.
That's okay, you know, because you use all your words for work. Other people don't, so that's why they haven't been served, no?
Just so,
the last thing I want to ask, right? Is there any area that can be improved besides the salary? Always, come on.
Always.
This doesn't happen on 2 cents. But what I want to know is, like, in your perspective, is there any areas that can be easily improved, and how?
I guess it's just listen and implement. If I say, take me seriously, trust me. Just, it's a simple solution. Don't look for other routes and why. Just trust me. And if I fail, or if I whatever, in a you know, a black and white manner, that you got the technical stuff wrong that you've known for long, then it's fine. But trust me, I guess. And that's I think that's a very simple solution, is trust, and in this case, woman, to do the things. Don't look for excuses to not. Just trust.
I just thought about something, because this sometimes happens in a corporate office setup and whatever.
Yeah.
Do you ever find that there's a jealous female who's now upset that you've gotten the job which she thinks she should have gotten? And then it's not even coming from the male side, where the pull her down system happens. It happens. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, because it's like, I think the generations before us have fought to fight tooth and nail to even just be to get their foot in a door. So I think there's just this hardness, I think. And so when another female comes, it's like, it's me, it's just, I have to fight against her, never mind the 50 feet males in the room. Then they don't realize they're shutting the door now for what they fought so hard to open. They're actually shutting the door again, because I think it's like, and also that environment that's been created, that it's only one woman can make it, not three, not four. And I think, but that's where we come in, and we, I guess, that's why we have to keep going, keep opening and saying, welcome, come with. Yes, of course. Oh, you got a gig. Great. That's awesome. But it's 100%. I've experienced that. And it's tough for me, because I grew up with sisters. I have sisters. Like, be competitive is normal, and it's like fine, but it's like, geesh, like,
don't cut me off, please.
Yeah, we're all fighting for this. You're literally. So I mean, I've definitely experienced that, and it's a sad, unfortunately, it's a sad reality. And I hope it changes for the better, and I'm sure it will with, you know, with Ella and Couture at the helm.
Listen, I want to say thank you because I'm so hyped up now, because not only is it Women's Month, but I'm speaking to passionate women who are excellent in what they do, who are articulate, can do the job, can win awards. I mean, I'm inspired now to go even do more. And I want to thank you for what you've contributed to that. Because without this passion, persistence, and perseverance, I mean, who are you going to be other than Katulo? Thank you, darling. Thank you for chatting with me.
Ella, thank you so much for also breaking the stereotypes, man. You can still learn about rugby at whatever time in your life and whatever area or not. Like, thank you for continuing to
Adrani Fakkel. Yes, please. No, I look to you guys and I just continue.
Thank you, Ella. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me. I know, like, so many women inspire me. So, I mean, it's nice to be in the conversation as well. So thank you so, so much.
It was so fabulous to chat to all these beautiful women for Women Changing the Game. And of course, specifically for Women's Month, because we need to be celebrated.